Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 50. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word today, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may receive the service of your Son, the true Son of David, and the one who suffered for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The people of Jesus' time were expecting the Messiah. They were expecting that the true Son of David would arise, who would bring peace and justice, and whose kingdom would be established forever. They were also aware that the prophet Isaiah had spoken of a suffering servant who would bring healing and restoration for the people through his humble and faithful steadfastness in the face of shame, scorn, suffering, and humiliation. But what they didn't realize, what no one realized, and what we could not have guessed unless it had been revealed to us by God, is that the true Son of David and the suffering servant prophesied by Isaiah were the same person, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And today, I'm proclaiming good news from Isaiah, that our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true Son of David, and who lives and reigns in majesty and power, he is the one who suffered for us, who was willing, as the suffering servant, to bear shame and humiliation in order to bring us life with God. Now, before we hear the reading from Isaiah, let's go back and hear what God's word has to say about David's son and how that can help us make sense of today's gospel reading and also help us understand the Old Testament reading more clearly. Back in 2 Samuel, we read that King David, having secured the throne and having made Jerusalem the new capital, decides that it would be good to move from having a tabernacle, that is, a tent, of the place of the Ark of the Covenant, of the place of God's gracious presence with his people. He decides that it would be good to move from having a tent to having a house built for God, having a temple built for God. Well, the same night that the prophet Nathan gives David the green light to go ahead on the project, he's given words by God. God tells David through Nathan that it is not David who would build a house for God, rather that it is God who would build a royal house for David. And as a key part of the message God gives David is this great messianic promise. Now, by the way, I'll be referring to a few different Bible passages today. This one you can find quite easily if you want to look on your Bibles at page 219. This is 2 Samuel 7 and verses 11b to 14. But it's okay just to listen. Here is this great messianic promise. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your ancestors, I will rise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, it was because of this great messianic promise that God's people had the expectation of the Messiah, of the Anointed One, the true King and Son of David, whose throne would be established forever. Now, this messianic expectation is at work in today's gospel reading, where the people give Jesus a royal welcome in the city established by David as the capital. This is what we read there. As Jesus rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road.
And as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven." And we also heard that some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, order your disciples to stop." But he answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out." "Blessed is the King," they proclaim, "the long-expected Son of David, who comes to set his people free." Jesus' own disciples rightly thought that the time had arrived for Jesus to bring the restoration of justice, to bring freedom, to bring in the everlasting kingdom that only the true Messiah could inaugurate. But what they didn't realize, and what they could not understand before the resurrection, was that the kingdom that Jesus was coming to inaugurate was one established through his suffering and death, through his sacrifice of atonement for sins, and through the resurrection into a life with God that comes as we together trust the gospel message. In fact, after the resurrection, when the risen Christ appears to his disciples, we hear these words. This is in page 69 in your New Testament version of the Pew Bibles. It's from Luke chapter 24, and I'll read verses 44 to 48. These are very important words when it comes to our interpretation of the Old Testament as God's people. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me,'" note that, "'written about me,' Jesus says, 'in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem.'" And he says, "You are witnesses to these things." Did you notice, by the way, that Jesus said to his disciples that his own suffering, death, and resurrection are attested to in the scriptures, in what we would call the Old Testament, and that Jesus himself opens their minds to understand how the Old Testament is about him, and especially about the events that his disciples had witnessed in that great Holy Week. Now this takes us to the Isaiah reading for today, which is one of the great suffering servant songs from that book. Now listen to how it begins. "The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught." Here we as Christians understand that our Lord Jesus is presented as one who is obedient to the word of his Father, that he came not to do his own will, but the will of the one who sent him. It is because the will of the Lord Jesus and the will of the Father are the same, that Jesus' word has power to sustain us when we are weary, when we feel that the path of discipleship is too hard to walk. What is surprising in the prophecy of Isaiah is that the one who is faithful to God lives out this fidelity not in being honored by the people and in having an easy life, but in his willing acceptance of shame and humiliation at the hands of sinful people. This is how the prophecy goes on. "The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backwards. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting." As Christian people, we hear these words and know that they are speaking about Jesus. And we have the image in our minds of the mockery of our Lord by the soldiers, by the leaders of the people, and even by one of the criminals condemned with him. Now, in Luke's gospel, we hear that Jesus already knew what his path would be. I'm going to go back now to Luke chapter 9, because this can again help us understand the Isaiah reading. In that chapter, Jesus repeatedly foretells the rejection and suffering that he would face in Jerusalem, in the city that David established as his capital. In chapter 9, we read these words, and this is on page 54 of your pew Bibles. These words which mark a turning point in the narrative for where the future direction of Jesus' path becomes clear. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Immediately, this setting of the face to Jerusalem brings him opposition. Because listen to the next words. And he sent messengers ahead of him. He sets his face, and then he sends messengers ahead of him. This is a lot like today's gospel reading, where Jesus sends people ahead of him on his path to the cross. It signals that Jesus was in charge, that he knew what was going on, that he knew what his path was. Now, as Jesus begins to set his face to Jerusalem, just as he's doing this, we hear of his first opposition. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples James and John saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. And they went on to another village. Jesus' path to Jerusalem is not for the condemnation of those who oppose him, but to bring them to repentance and to the forgiveness of sins. Now, with this in mind, listen to how the prophecy from Isaiah goes on. "The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty?" Jesus set his face to Jerusalem, to his suffering and to his death for us, to his taking on sin and shame for us, and to his resurrection from the dead for us, to bring us into his kingdom, where he, the once suffering servant, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and where he lives and reigns as the true Son of David, whose kingdom is established forever. No one imagined that the Messiah, the Son of David, would be the suffering servant by whose stripes we are healed. Jesus' disciples did not anticipate this, and we would not have either. This is God's revelation to us of who he is and of his great love for us. And so, dear people in Bethlehem, as we now enter into this Holy Week, let's put distractions aside and focus our attention not on our weaknesses, not on our sins, not on what we have to do for God, but on what God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a prophecy, a word given by God, that the Son of David would be established forever on his throne. And there was a prophecy given through Isaiah that there would be a suffering servant by whose stripes we are healed. They weren't two different people. They are the one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as God's people, let us boldly confess before the world that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
And the peace of God which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.